Hey Nadia, how are you?
Ah, you can hear me. What a treat. Oh, I'm so glad you've joined me today.
Thank you so much, and thank you for letting me join you. What a beautiful voice you have.
Oh, thanks. That's nice. It's so funny when you do podcasts, and I'm sure we'll talk about this because you're going to be doing one soon, aren't you? You just get to hear people from their voice. So it's like, it's a whole different experience, I find.
Yeah, it's, yes. Yeah, it is actually. I've not even thought about it like that, but yeah. And then you often think, does the person match the visual I've got?
Oh, you'll have to stalk me on Instagram afterwards.
Yeah, I'm all good for stalking. I'm all good for that.
Well, John, thanks for coming on the show. John's already come on and given me the best compliment possible. So we're on to a good start.
We are indeed. It could work, Nadia. It could work.
It could work. Right. I'm really excited to talk to you because there's a few things when I was watching the show that really got my back up. So we're going to talk about those shortly. But first of all, I would love you to tell listeners a little bit about yourself and kind of why you decided to apply to go on Interior Design Masters as well.
Sure. So hi, everyone. I'm John. John Burns. I live down on the South Coast in Worthing with my partner, John. Yes, that's confusing. Very confusing. And we're both Jonathan as well, so it's even more confusing. Yeah, I know, it gets worse. I have lived down south now for 22 years. I'm originally from the Midlands. And for all of my career to date, I've worked in learning and development. I'm currently the director of learning and quality and engagement for a financial services company.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so that's what I do full time at the moment. But what led me to the show was I have always had a passion for interiors from about the age of 7 is the earliest memory I've got. And I've done stuff for friends, I've done stuff for our own home. And it got to the point last year when I just thought to myself, do you know what? I love it so much. I wonder if I could challenge myself to see if I could really do it. And I loved the show. I loved the first series and watched it and just had one of those moments sat on the sofa of, I'm going to contact them. I'm going to contact them to see if I can take part. And it was literally as easy as that. So I hunted down the production team. I sent them a message and asked them, you know, I love your show. Could I be part of it? How do I even get to a chance to do that? And they got back to me and said, well, we've not decided we've got another show yet, but if we do, we'll, you know, give us a call in 2 weeks. I was like, fair enough. And I kind of thought, oh, no, that's a bit of a brush off, isn't it? Don't be silly. And then I just thought, no, I'm going to do it. They've said to do it. So I went back 2 weeks and they said, no, we've not made any decisions yet. It's like, fair enough. And then they contacted me and said, we have decided we're doing another show. So if you'd like to apply, this is what you need to do. And I applied, sent them a portfolio of stuff that I've done. And then they sent me a project. And I had to create a project on a couple and what they wanted to do with their house. And I was then also, I had a screen test, which I didn't realize it was a screen test at the time, but it was.
They take you into a room and you went, this is suspicious.
Well, because of COVID, everything was done online.
Of course.
Yeah. So I never physically met anybody. And so I had to do it. I was actually away working in Australia and I had to do it in the hotel, sat on my hotel floor with the laptop balanced on a coffee table thinking, oh my goodness, if I get on the show, this is gold.
Yeah.
And then a few weeks later, they phoned me and said, yes.
Wow.
I won't repeat what I said on the phone repeatedly.
I mean, you can. Yeah, but yeah, let's
you can
not
imagine, can't you? It was a little bit purple. Let's just put it that way. And yeah, that's how it started.
Oh, see, I love a story like that. I love that your day job isn't necessarily your passion and you went for it anyway and you decided, right, I'm going to take a risk. And I really love those stories. And it really shone through in the show as well. You could tell you just loved it. And I think that made a huge difference and great watching.
I loved the whole experience. The whole thing was scary, nerve-wracking, exhilarating, and really hard work. And I'd do it all again.
Oh, that's so nice to hear. And it was a really strange time. Like you said, it was during a pandemic, and it must have been strange doing a design show kind of with social distancing in place.
It was really strange. Obviously, because I'd never done anything like this before and worked in TV or anything like that, the whole thing was just a bit bonkers, not knowing how it works, what you have to do. And I have to say that the crew and the production team were amazing. And it was social distancing throughout. The only people that didn't have to wear masks were us on camera. We kept with the same film crew, so there was never any contamination or, do you know what I mean, anything like that. In the evenings, as the cast, we weren't allowed to socialize. We stayed in our rooms. So that was the bizarre part of the filming. But then the added pressure was stores weren't open, and deliveries, obviously, if you ever wanted anything, the deliveries were taking X amount of weeks because they couldn't have the staff to fulfill all of those orders.
Yeah.
So to try and get materials and fabrics and all of that stuff within the allotted time was such a challenge. So it's not only are you trying to fulfill the client brief, because, you know, you can have many ideas and find stuff anywhere, you then had to realize, so what's open? What can I get access to? How long will it take? And that also then made a change for, well, I can't have that, so I've got to do something else.
Yeah. And it's crazy because everybody during the pandemic as well, everyone decided right now we're going to, you know, rebuild our office, or we're going to redecorate, or we're going to do our garden because we've got nothing else to do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that made it difficult. You know, you would go to the large DIY stores versus the smaller independent DIY stores, which would obviously be I like to support local businesses, but you just couldn't get them. It didn't matter where you went. And so there were all compromises that you had to make about what it was that you could do. Even the size of wood, it was like, okay, I actually need to make it this size instead of this size. It's like, oh, where do I even start?
Do you know what? You've segued really nicely into one of my questions. It feels like you have so much to do. It feels like an accelerated version of the Bake Off, where I have to potentially build things from scratch. It's not just painting and decorating. Did you feel like you had to learn a lot on the job of things that you hadn't done before?
Yeah. So for me personally, obviously in episode one, you see me having a breakdown at the end of one of the filming elements. And that was because I didn't think I'd done enough, because all I'd done was buy fabrics, wallpaper, paints, furniture that was flat packed to put together. I obviously created my own art because that was part of the proposal for that client. So then when I got through week one, I then just looked at it and said, right, what did I pick up from the other designers? What could I see? So that's when I made my office furniture. I made my office table. And then Michaela on the show, I was fascinated because she's an upholsterer.
Oh, I remember Michaela.
Yeah, she's so lovely and so generous with all of her time. And I just said, you know, how do you end up covering the staples, because you can't see it? She was like, you do it back to front and then you flip it over. I was like, oh, that's really clever. And how do you, and then it just led on. I was like, and how do you do the corners? In literally 10-20 minutes she taught me to do it. And then the next episode I upholstered all of the furniture that I had purchased and said to her, look, this is what you enabled me to do. She's like, what, you've never done it before? I was like, no, is it really bad? She was like, it's amazing. So and then it just went on. And then I was like, so in episode three, right, I'm going to make furniture and I'm going to make my first set of curtains, which turned out to be 8 foot long and 9 foot wide. And I had to make four of them and fully line them.
And you were like, this is something to tick off. I can now do. I can now deliver this. I thought it was fascinating watching that, because it's like, I also wondered how you felt about being like thrown into the spotlight, because you said you haven't done anything like that before. And as a viewer, we just watch it and go, oh, wow, you know, they're all interior designers. We're going to kind of critique the design because that's what you do from home. But we forget that you're also in the spotlight a lot. Did you find that challenging at all?
Yeah, really challenging. Because you want to make sure that you represent yourself And I was 110% myself the entire time. So the tears were not put on. You know, the things that fell out of my mouth, they were me. You kind of forget that you are filming a television show. And that sounds really weird because you know, you've got 16 cameras around you and you're sweating because the lights are on you. Yeah, it's really weird. And then because you're up against a time limit to complete the design, you want to try and say whatever it is that you need to say on camera or answer any questions as quickly as possible so that you can just crack on. So you kind of get into it after the first episode, you kind of into this flow of, I understand how this needs to work now. And then you kind of forget that, which is random because I never thought that would be the case, because the first time when we filmed meeting everybody, that was the most daunting thing ever. Yeah, but I loved it.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. It's like when you're at work and you're really busy and someone comes and asks you a question and you're like, I need to be really polite and calm, but I really need to get back to my job.
Yeah, it's exactly that. And you realise then that the whole nation is going to be watching you do it at the same time. So everyone's seen me with a green napkin on my head. Everyone's seen me in tears. Yeah, why not? If you're going to do it big.
Yeah, go all out. Just do it. Was there any, you know, did everybody get on? Was there any, you know, is there any gossip, John? Is there anything that you can tell me?
So do you know what the gossip is? The gossip is that we are all from different walks of life. And there are always times when there's going to be people that you're like, oh, I don't really like you, or I'm not really gelling with you. That did not happen. And I can genuinely 100% say that that did not happen. We all had a mutual appreciation for the skill set that we'd got and our viewpoint. And it's interesting. In episode one, I think there's a time when Charlotte came into my room and said, oh, it's a bit pink. And I think on camera then she commented and said, oh, it's a bit pink. I'm not really sure it's going to work. Charlotte has impeccable taste. And for her to have said that to me just made me think, I'm going to show you that actually the idea I've got in my head is going to work. And when she saw it eventually, she was like, that is genius. That is beautiful. And I think it's about that confidence. But we are all friends. In fact, last week, we all were away together in London overnight. So we ended up in Lucky Voice until 3 a.m. Yes, we've been away together for a weekend in Leeds. And then in February, I get married and they're all coming to the wedding.
Oh, that's so lovely. Oh, congratulations. That's so lovely. Much.
So, yeah, Aww. So we do genuinely like one another and get on. And we, outside of the show now, we are all very supportive of one another's projects. And we all still help one another. We use one another as sounding boards. So, yeah, it's really, that is genuinely the stuff that you don't get to see. They should do a spin-off of what we've done since. I think that would be great.
Yeah, they should. If anyone's listening, let's make that happen. Oh, you know what? It's a shame there's no gossip, but it is so nice to hear. And I actually think, I mean, I'm not an interior designer. I mean, I'm going to ask for some tips shortly, but I think it's really nice that you all, like you said, admire each other's craft and learn from each other.
Yeah.
So what were your, no, actually, do you know what? I'm going to tell you, I was fuming when you went out.
Thank you, Nadia. Thank you.
And I will tell you why. I know, you know, it was a maximalist task and you did go yes. Maximalist, but I felt like you went hard, so you shouldn't have gone home. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I was fuming. I wanted you to stay. I did continue watching, but I just thought you had to know that.
Thank you. I was gutted as well. I literally put my, I had no, before we did it, I had to research what maximalism was. I had no idea. And what I took from maximalism is it's about color saturation. It's about patterns that don't necessarily match but do have a synergy. And so that's what I did. And that was my version of it. And I there are artists out there and designers out there who I now look at and think, actually, that is my aesthetic. So that's what I was looking at. And that's where I was going. Was it right for a bride? I've had feedback that there are brides that love that suite. So the suite is still in situ in the hotel. It wasn't changed. The clients loved it. It was one of their favourite rooms.
Oh, see, that's the thing we don't get to hear, yeah. Is it? We don't get to see, well, actually, the clients loved it.
Yes, that's right. And the clients did love it. And, you know, I was answering the client's brief. So they wanted a room that was Instagrammable and that could be Marmite. Well, it yes. did. We sent home. So, you know, what can you do?
Yeah. Well, I loved it. And yes, you got sent home, but at least you went out with a bang.
You know, it's like, it's, what is it? It's fun, it's exciting, it's different. Not all brides want the, you know, if you were to say to somebody, tell me what a bridal suite looks like, everybody would do something similar. I wanted to do it for that bride that said, you know what, I want something really rock star, or I want something a bit Willy Wonka, or I want something, you know, and that's what I did. And that was the brief, and I matched the brief, and the client was happy. At the end of the day, the client that we were working for, it just so happened to be on a television program as well.
I would definitely have stayed in there for my wedding because I got married during lockdown, so it wasn't many of us. So I would have definitely been there.
You could have been in that room.
Yeah, that would have been me. Oh, okay. Well, what do you think your worst moment and your highlight was of the show?
Oh, my worst moment. It wasn't actually going home because I think I handled that quite gracefully. It was making the headboard for the bed in that room. They did film it, but thankfully it didn't air. But I have a complete meltdown because I'm a little bit numbers blind. And I had done all of the measurements for my headboard. And when we had cut all the wood and I'd made all of the upholstered cushions for it, I'd got all of my measurements wrong.
Oh, bless you.
And I was absolutely mortified and so upset because essentially I'd cut everything to shape. And then it wasn't going to fit. So I wasn't happy with the bed in the end. I wasn't happy with the headboard. I loved the look of it, but not the way that it was finished because it wasn't right. And that for me was my genuinely lowest moment of, I can't believe you've done that. And there was no way I could do anything about it. The highlight, the highest moment, probably hear it because I didn't get to hear the feedback about my rooms until the rest of the nation did, because none of us knew what anybody had said about the room. Yeah, we had no idea what was said. It was so lovely to hear Lawrence and Michelle talking about my show home and the comments that I got from that, because my ultimate goal would be to do show homes and boutique hotels. That's what I would love to do. And well, I say boutique hotels, hotels full stop. And so to hear that I got that, I nailed the brief on that. And obviously myself and Lindsay were the first couple to go through, just told me that you have got the ability and capability to deliver what's needed. And so it was more of that that I wanted to do. And that was such a high point just to hear that praise for two people that are giants in the interiors world was just, for me, amazing.
Oh, that's so nice. Do you know what? I had no idea that you didn't hear the feedback, because when you watch it as a viewer, you hear all the lovely feedback. So even if you do go out, we've heard some of the lovely things that have been said. So that must be really tough to not have a clue what anyone has said.
It was really difficult because you don't get to hear it. So we didn't know what the judges thought of the rooms when they were going around it. And obviously we only get the judgment of you've gone through or you haven't. Only if you haven't gone through that you do get a bit more time, because you then have to justify why you did what you did and you get to talk about it. But I had no idea. I realized obviously I was safe in the first episode, but I had no idea that I'd done so well. And in the second episode, obviously I realized that there were some things I could have done differently. However, it just, I didn't hear it until everybody else heard it. So that was... Yeah, it's
awesome. Oh, yeah. I'm one of those people that would find that really tough as well. I need feedback. I've just done something. I've spent 3 days painting this room. Tell me if you like it, please.
Yeah, that was exactly how I felt, because in hindsight, I think if I'd have known that from week one, whilst I'd got a confidence boost that I went through, knowing that the colour choices I'd made and what I'd done would have told me, go with your gut instinct. And so there were things that I may have done in episode two that could have been different, and the same in episode three. So it plays on your mind because you think, I don't know how good I'm actually doing at this. Do I just need to forget it? Or yeah. So it's it does play with your mind.
And also, do you know what I did find really, like, you were actually really entertaining because you came across as yourself. But Alan Carr, he had some like really unfiltered comments, and you just bounced them back. It was great.
He was such a joy to meet and to, can I say, work alongside? That sounds quite grand, doesn't it? I worked with Alan Carr once. He was so genuine. You know, when you've got these people that you kind of idolize and you'd love to meet them, and then you meet them and you're like, oh, you're not what I'd have. So I did say to Alan, I think that the stuff that he has done, both comedic-wise and just by being himself, has done no end for people like me who feel that we don't necessarily fit in. And to have met him and for him to have been supportive and friendly and actually exactly what you see on the TV was a complete joy. And yeah, it was really good. He's the type of person that I think if we were in a bar together, we'd probably get absolutely legless. Yeah. And it would just be hysterical from start to finish. And I don't think it would be needing to try, it would just happen. And that's how I felt around him. He was just very, very natural.
Well, there's a spin-off. There's your spin-off, BBC or Netflix.
I think he'd love it. I think he would love it. Alan, please get in touch. I think he'd want me to wear my shorts, though. He comments on my shorts when I'm on Instagram. So, yeah, I'm all right for that, though. I've got them.
That segues great into the next question. I know that, you know, I hear that you're really into fashion, and so I'm wondering if that influences your interior design as well. Not shorts everywhere.
Yeah, not shorts everywhere. It does. Does it? Let me just think. Does it? It's a really good question. I think it does, yes. So I do love fashion, and I've always worked within the fashion and beauty industry in my daytime job. So I'm fascinated by construction, by colour, by fabrics. And I think that has influenced what I would say my signature style was, which is around colour, but also around the pattern and the print of things, and how you could take, for example, you can recreate patterns with wood or with paint effect or that kind of stuff. And for me, that's the influence of fashion. I also, I'm of an age now, makes me sound ancient when I say that. I'm of an age now where I have got more confidence about what looks good on me and what I want to wear. And the show gave me the ability to challenge myself from an interiors point of view, but has also enabled me to challenge myself from a fashion point of view. So one of my ultimate desires is to do a collaboration with a fashion house of some description. Am I allowed to mention names of houses or not? Or would you
rather? That's fine.
Yeah. So something like ASOS. ASOS, I think, do some phenomenal clothes, and they have a brand called ASOS Design, and they do what I call real size men's clothes, and they do stuff slightly off the wall. And I would love to collaborate with them and do something for people that are my size, that they're not over the hill. They want to do something a bit edgy, but they can't find anything. And I think they've got the right arena to do it, but then also for them to do a home range, because I think they're missing that as well. And I'd love to be that person.
I love that idea. I love that. And like so many of us feel, you know, unconfident in their own skin. And I think I'm one of those people that wears black all the time, but it's not because I don't like colours. It's because I don't know what looks good and I get self-conscious. So I love that idea.
Yeah, it's a real challenge. And I find myself at the moment buying women's clothes. I say women's clothes, they're from a women's store made for women, because I like the shapes of them. So I like an oversized top. And, you know, in a women's store, that's a dress. Well, okay, if it's a dress, I'm going to wear it as a top with some trousers. And I've just bought a dress from H&M, because I can see that I want to wear it with a shirt and some trousers and some boots. So I'm thinking, well, there's obviously, in today's world, We now have all the right pronouns for people, and things are being a lot more progressive. And whilst I might be over middle-aged or middle-aged, it doesn't mean I don't have those desires. So I'm looking to do things differently. And I think in my interiors, that's also the same. I like to do something that makes a statement. It doesn't have to, I described it to somebody recently. I think my style is something that smacks you in the face.
in the nicest possible way. Yes, please.
Yeah, that's, it's just something that makes you, that gives you an emotion or makes you feel something. So it's a little bit edgy. It's a little bit of colour. It's lots of different things. And that's what I love about both fashion and interior design.
Oh, I love that. See, now you've even inspired me to get some more colour on me. My friends say it all the time, like, please wear some colour. But
yeah, do green first. Green's a good place to start.
Green, interesting. I've got red hair as well, so that could work. It could work.
Oh, my goodness. Nadia, that's a recipe. That has got to happen. Do it. Do it in your home, and then you'll feel all right, and then you can go out to the shops in it, and then before you know it, you're going to be in it all the time.
Yeah. Brilliant. So what is next for you? You're launching a podcast, I hear.
Yeah, so what am I doing next? So I'm currently updating my office and my studio, so it's more creative and a better space for me. I've just finished a client, so that's complete, and I'm getting ready to have all of that photographed to update my website. And then I'm working on some podcast or vodcast. I can't decide which one I want to do yet. And what I really want to do is I want to be talking to people. And I've got a working title at the moment. And it's Reno or Reno with Vino.
Nice.
Go with me on this, Nadia. I know, go with me on this. So a lot of people do renovations and they call it rent. They're doing a Reno. And I'm interested in that from an interiors point of view. But then what I'm also fascinated by is people that have done or want to do what I did, which was do something that they've always wanted to do and they didn't think they could. So I'm trying to do it as in reno, as in renovation of your house, or reno, renovation of yourself. Because I think I want to combine my two worlds, my world of interiors and my world of people. But what I want to do is do it over wine, so that it's a lot more relaxed. And then what I could do is find a winemaker that would sponsor me, so that I can not only talk to those people, but we also get to critique the wine as well.
That sounds like a heavenly podcast. And I really think you've hit the nail on the head with the renovation thing, because that's the first thing that I said that I liked about you as well. The fact that you've gone, right, I've had this passion for years, I'm going to give it a shot. Like, I think there's so much worth in doing it.
Yeah.
And wine, obviously, you always need wine.
And wine as well. That, I wanted to do something, you know, just a little bit different. So, you know, it's okay to be doing a podcast or a vodcast with people. So, and the reason I say the vodcast is I'm thinking that I want to be able to show the people's renovation or the person themselves and what it is that they're wanting to move from and into. Because I just think that you can connect more with that, you can visualize it a bit more. So, and then do the relaxness of the wine, so it could be like a, you know, Wednesday's wine day. Yeah, there's something in it, and I'm just trying to work through it to see how it could work.
Well, I'm excited to see what happens. I will definitely listen to it. And you could get people to taste the same wine as you, couldn't you, whilst you're doing the episode?
That's exactly what I wanted to do. So I have a bottle, they have a bottle, and we also talk about the wine. You know, why not educate ourselves on something whilst enjoying it? So what can you taste? What can I taste? What would you cook with it?
Love that. Love that. Don't get me started though, because I'll be like, well, let's get some cheese too. And then let's keep going.
I'm all good with that. Sounds like you and I could live together, but it could be a bit dangerous. All about the wine and the cheese. Yeah.
I'd be very happy though, so that's good.
Yes. You'd be wearing green.
You know, in my green, yeah.
See, it's all working.
Brilliant. Well, before we finish, I want to ask you a question for listeners about design. So if someone is like, right, I want to redecorate, or I want to make this room look a bit more interesting, have you got a tip that's really simple to get them started?
Yeah. So literally plan it. don't rush in and go and buy the sofa that you've always wanted without considering the room and how you're going to use it. And it's really painful to do. But if you put the planning in place, it means then that you won't make a purchase that you wish you hadn't made.
I'd never think to plan. I would always just jump straight in, which is probably why it's always gone wrong.
And that's the difference. And that is genuinely the difference. So if you engage an interior designer, it takes between 4 to 6 weeks to put together a scheme. So that's how long it takes me to do my research for a client, how long it takes me to put my mood boards together. It's all of that processing stuff. Whereas if you're thinking, oh, I know, I've got some money, I'll go out and do my bedroom over. You normally start with things like, oh, I know, I really like that wallpaper. And then you fit everything around it. Whereas what you want to think is, what's the feeling that I want in this bedroom? How do I want it to feel? What do I use the bedroom for? So do I get ready in here? Or am I lucky enough to have a dressing area? Do I like the feel of a hotel or a spa or all of that type of stuff? And let your mind run wild and then go and look at wallpaper. Don't start with the wallpaper because that will end up you not necessarily achieving what you want.
Oh, see, that's a really good tip. That's so helpful. Thank you. I think it's always amazing. Like when you watch a program like the Interior Design Masters, you immediately feel like a designer yourself. And we all sit there and we critique and we're like, oh no, I wouldn't put that with that. And then you go to do your own room and you can't.
It is, but that's what I loved about the show, that I sat there and said, I think I could do that. And I mean, the people that they had on series one, I am in touch with a number of them and they're phenomenal. They are absolutely phenomenal at what they do. But I sat there, I was like, yeah, I could do that. Yeah, I could do that. Well, I could. And then you put the TV cameras in there as well and all of that in the mix. So,
and wasn't it like 30 degrees heat as well or something during the filming?
Oh, God, yeah. It was the heat wave. If you remember, around the COVID time, there was a heat wave. I don't know how they managed to edit it out, but in that first episode, I am walking around with a roll of the blue, you know, the blue tissue paper that you get in. Like, I had that under my arm constantly because I was sweating that much. And in 3 weeks, I lost over a stone in weight. I was eating just vegan at that time. But because of all of the moving and doing everything and the adrenaline.
And then the sauna.
And then the sauna. My skin was beautifully soft by the end of episode one. Absolutely beautiful. I got brand new skin.
Oh, it's been so nice chatting to you. And I am very excited to see what podcast you do end up doing. And as long as it's got wine in it, I'm in.
Thank you, Nadia. Well, you never know. You might be one of those people that I say, do you know what? Come and talk about what it is that inspired you to do what you do.
Oh, that'd be great. Just don't let me have the bottle of wine before I come on, if we're doing that. Oh, well, it was so lovely chatting to you. Thank you so much for coming on, and I can't wait to see what you do next.
Thank you so much, and I'm very grateful for this opportunity. So, thank you so much.